We're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, Riley County Commission. The featured topic here on In Focus today, Ron Wells, County Commission Chair, Andrew Adams, Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with the Riley County Health Department. Ron, we were talking earlier about the LAVTR topic, and you're meeting with Governor Kelly.
It was, like I say, I think it was very fruitful. During the conversation, I brought the topic up that I felt that the governor's office doesn't always hear what's actually going on with the taxpayers in the county, because some legislators, I think, goals are primarily themselves. And I had one early this year, was a little upset at my bringing this up all the time, but pointed out why he was wanting to, keep the taxes down for the taxpayers. Well, Riley County is just an extension of the state. We do the state's work, and these are I couldn't believe he didn't understand. These are the same taxpayers we're talking about. So how can you be lowering the taxpayer rate but yet raising it here? And so all you're doing is just trying to make yourself look good, transfer the heat, so to speak, onto the Riley County commissioners, you know, because it's the same dollar pool, same dollar amount, and then the state put the tax lid on after they went and took the money out of the counties and cities, which was very onerous to me. But like I say, at the end of the meeting then, I heard back from the senator that they were appreciative of the fact that I spoke out front, just spoke forthright, that this is what's going on, this is what we need, this is what we'd like to see accomplished in the upcoming years as the state's budget stabilizes and the income hopefully increases. And they said that they appreciated the fact that I didn't go in making demands and all this and things. So we're looking down the road maybe a few years and to get some of this money started back, plus the fact that I didn't ask for all the money. I said I would appreciate anything, any amount of the money in the LATVR and the CCRS would be helpful to the county to conduct business, considering the fact that the state just cut the community corrections, one of their funds again. And what they do is they think, well, the county will pick up on that, so we just keep dropping off. So you take that with the state motor vehicle operation. 95% of the work of 12 of our people is doing state work. The money we get from the state pays for 5 of them. Us local taxpayers are paying for 7 people to do the state's business, and the state is collecting the money. So just trying to get the impact out to the people to show what the state, when they look like they're trying to operate efficiently or fiscally responsible, all they're doing is dumping the load on the local taxpayers here through the counties.
So you're optimistic that something will get done here in the near term?
Well, they gave me a long-range sheet out about 5 years or so. It looks to me like, and I think if our legislators do their job, I'm hoping in 2022, 23, maybe we may see some dollars. Once again, that's why I've been stressing to people, we have a major election coming up next year, and people in their districts across the state of Kansas, look at your legislator, your representative, and senator for the state, and ask them, do you support funding this, yes or no? And that's how you determine how to vote for them. You know, if they say, because there is, I did learn there's a contingency at the state right now trying to eliminate those two statutes. And fairly sizable, it sounds like. But I'm hoping by doing a pushback on the radio, and we've had some meetings with local other counties. We had a legislative conference up at the Public Works and invited other counties in. And this is one of the things we discussed, besides the dark store theory and the others, was we need to get together and try to blunt them doing away with those two statutes.
Yeah, you had several counties at that. Who all was in attendance at that?
Well, naturally, I left the list in the truck. But since then, too, we had a Northeast Kansas regional meeting in Emporia. And we had a roundtable conference for the county commissioners, and then they had one for appraisers and the other departments. So at the county commissioner one, we three Raleigh County commissioners spoke on this matter, And we're getting more and more counties interested. And so now they're starting to talk to their legislators. But the list I left out in the truck, but it is growing.
All right. Well, good to hear. I know a lot of folks support you in that endeavor with the LAVTR funds. And that's great that you got at least the governor's attention here, it sounds like, for that. We'll continue to see what happens there. What about some of the other issues, the dark store theory? Where are we at with that whole topic?
That's scary because we have there's legislators that aren't opposed to it. And it's growing as far as the number of filings, you know, around the various states and in Kansas. I'm kind of leaving it up to Greg McHenry. He's one of our leading spokespeople and most knowledgeable on it. But we support him, and we'll be discussing that at the Kansas Association of County meeting in November down in Wichita. So. I'm also going to be bringing up the LATVR and those too, and then of course the home rule is kind of towards the bottom. But these items show why it's important for the Association of Counties to meet, because I know I started on this LATVR CCRS back in January of 2017. And for several years, I spoke to quite a few groups in Manhattan, handed out hundreds of these sheets that show the loss of money and things, and really never made any inroads until this past year, and when they started getting some other counties asking for copies of it. And so I didn't realize how close we were to this one group that's pushing to eliminate them. So I'm glad I got started early on it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, I'm talking to Ron Wells, Riley County Commission Chair, Andrew Adams, Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with the Riley County Health Department. Again, reminder, Oktoberfest is October 24th at Potter Falls, Seco Park. Some other items here of note on the county commission level here. Yesterday, you got some updates from Riley County Police Department on their Riley substation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Other than would be nice to have a little upgrade of facilities, but right now the important thing is the IT, getting the internet service, the interaction, through electronic means, so they can communicate with the main office here in Manhattan and things. So it's a big step towards getting more activity at a quicker level up in North County, and. We're getting close to, I think we're doing the punch list on the EMS station up at Public Works. So it's a slow process to start serving the more rural areas like that, because the financial cost, is a large item, because we have the firing range. We're going to be going out and viewing, I think, Thursday afternoon, I believe. But we need to get started right away on constructing the facilities. And we have two fire stations, Leonardville and the one over by Ogden. The one by Ogden, I think, is nearly complete. And so Riley County has plenty on its plate, so to speak. And so it just takes time to do these things without getting into a drastic tax increase. And with the local mill levies, that's not something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I would like to mention real quick, on taxpayer sales tax money, yesterday, I believe they were supposed to start the shoe fly detour on Anderson Avenue at Keats, Kansas, and we'll be replacing that bridge. So the shoe fly is going to be very important, and so we want to apologize for any inconvenience, but it was a necessary project that has to be done. I don't believe the bridge will actually start itself till probably December, January time frame, but hopefully, we'll be in a little bit drier spell, because the shoe fly is just going to have some large tubes placed in the creek, and they would be vulnerable to being washed out. But we're hoping at the time of the year we're not going to run into any problems, and we can get the bridge replaced without having to replace a shoe fly.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's a well-traveled route there.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks go that way. Speaking of extra rains here, I know we've seen the lake levels rise a little bit at Tuttle Creek. Have you been in any conversation with the Army Corps of Engineers with that or any other flood mitigation?
We're in contact with Brian McNulty regularly. The problem, another thing that we're going to have to be faced is if and when the lake levels get back down to the 1075 elevation, at that time, we have a lot of roads, culverts, box bridges and things. We have no idea what condition they're going to be in because they've been saturated so long with the wave action. So we need to keep traffic off of it and let the water drain out of the base. Then we have to go in and make an assessment. So we don't know yet how many dollars of repairs are going to be needed, let alone just cleaning the driftwood off of them. So we have that coming up, but the way the rains are coming, it looks like I'm not sure if and when the lake's going to get down to a level to where we can look at those roads. It's probably going to be next spring, be my guess.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I keep hoping for it to go down, and I think last week it was gone down to as far as 11:10, and I think it creeped back up to about 11:19 in the last couple of days. But boy, yeah, it's been a tough year altogether.
Really, and expensive. We have people. We have five homes up in the White Canyon area that still can't access their property without going across rough terrain. The last I heard, there was one of our propane companies did have a UTV with a 500-gallon tank that they could get in there to at least service those homes so they have propane for heat, keep the heat on in the homes and stuff. So it looks like it's going to be tough for I don't know how long, but it's we're trying to do what we can. But since that's not a county road that's underwater and things, we're kind of limited to what we can do. We did help them out at one time and repaired the culvert and stuff on it, and then of course the lake flooded it. So we have to be real careful with the taxpayers' money, but also their taxpayers too. Some of that's been brought on probably by the development that was done back probably in the 70s, and we can't saddle the entire county taxpayers, you know, with things that may not have been done correctly.
Mm. Well, that's a tough deal for those folks. Hopefully, before it gets too cold, they'll have a
temporary easement or a road in and out of there.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else, Ron, that you wanted to highlight here today?
Oh, there's all kinds of things. like I say, I had an unusual week last week, very with the family and stuff. So a little bit out of sorts. One thing too is I didn't make any headway on is the mortgage registration fee, which you know takes we're out of over $1 million in Raleigh County, and the realtors and the banker association pushed that, and it just kind of went flying through. The state actually thought they were doing the right thing, but it's a 0.0025% one-time pay on the amount of money you borrow on a home, and that's a one-time pay. So I had a local realtor then say, well, we want to make houses affordable for the lower-income people. Well, that would have been a one-time payment of a minute amount. Now, to compensate for that, we have to raise the mill levy. So now they're going to pay an additional mill levy on their home for as long as they own the home. And it only impacted the people that borrowed. And what it did, it covered the expense of the county because we have to track all that paperwork and make sure that when the home sells, they know that there's a loan against it. We have a lot of costs on that continue on. Just because they did away with mortgage registration fee doesn't mean that our expense goes away.
All right. Well, kudos to you for all your work you're doing, and condolences to your you and your family. Sorry to hear about the passing of your mother.
It was to me. It's she was a special person. Of course, each person's mother is, but the amount of work that she did over the years. The thing that hit the most in following the greatest generation. Is she was one of the greatest generations that to look what they went through from the 20s to current. You know, they suffered through the Depression, and they worked hard, fought the world's greatest war. They settled settled down and built homes and built the industries and you know, the airlines. If you look at everything from in that broad span of what they accomplished, I don't think will ever be accomplished again because people wouldn't have any realization of going through the Depression. I can't even imagine that. And then the amount of hard work and things. So that truly was one of the greatest generations. The downside, I'm next in line. I'm the next generation. So, and I'm the oldest in the family. So it's been quite a transition for me in the last week.
Well, we appreciate you coming out here and talking with us. And Oktoberfest again, October 24th. What is the times again for that one more time?
2 to 7 o'clock at Powder Fall in Seco Park.
Okay, remember that. Andrew Adams, Ron Wells, our guests here on In Focus. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with more In Focus after this on K-Man.